William DeMace, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is, I guess, it's afternoon now, so can we say it's training camp eve?
Yes.
Can we say that?
I believe so.
Yeah, we can.
Titans training camp eve. So we have a heavy football lean today, NFL football. Last week we had a lot of college talk. And that will rotate back around here on the show in the coming days. Now we're in that weird time where training camp's open. We've had SEC media days, but we still got a long wait till we actually see some games we can sink our teeth into. But we've got a lot of things to discuss, for sure. And we want to hear from you. 615-737-1025. Our phone text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We haven't had a phone call today, and even after our emphasis on Friday, we had, hey, we valued the phone call.
Yeah.
We do value the phone call, a conversation. We would much love to talk to you that way, but you can always text. And our question really is, we have illustrated the barren landscape of the Titans roster, ages 25 and under. It doesn't look good. The nucleus of young talent is not there. Major question marks. What will that look like in another year or two? To me, that's the biggest overall flaw that they have to get figured out over the next season or two, especially if you're looking on the horizon of what kind of Titans team are we going to see going into the brand new stadium. If they don't get this fixed, especially coupled with all the ticket prices of the PSLs we've been talking about, it's going to be a tough sell, a very tough sell.
Yeah, it is going to be a tough sell. You know, this reminds me of each time, now that the kids are older and, you know, half the time, for the majority of the time, you know, they were off at school and college. So as a parent, I didn't have to cook every day, you know. So when I would open up my refrigerator or my cabinet, I was like, man, there's nothing in here. It's like, and that's how the Titans sort of feel. Yeah. When you look at the Titans roster, it's like, you open up the cabinet, it's like, man, there's not much in here. Like,
yeah.
I can't keep eating the same
cereal.
Thing. Exactly. I can't keep eating cereal every day or the same things every day or ordering out every day. Well, the Titans have ordered out the last 2 years in going to get free agents.
That's a good point.
They can't afford to order out. Buy some damn grocery and start cooking, okay?
What's the saying?
Let Rand cook, the fans say. Well, go buy the grocery, which they have the last two seasons. Now start cooking. Because Titan fans want to eat. They're hungry as hell right now. They want to eat. So you need to start stacking up that cupboard right about now. Don't be like me. Kids gone, cupboard's empty. No. You need to fill that cupboard up and start getting some players, which I think they are doing the last two drafts. But still, we got to wait and see with those guys. You know, Peter didn't have a great year last year. It was a question mark, you know. You look at some of the other guys that they drafted last year or the year before that. Either they're not on the roster or we don't believe they will get re-signed. So this draft, last year's draft, they need to start getting impact players right away. We can't wait for a year. Oh, give them another year. No, this roster isn't strong enough to be waiting a year or two. No, stop that. They want it now. The fans want it now, so anybody, oh, they'll be fine. No, we don't have time to wait for 2 years. We don't.
If you're just
everybody else got their cupboards full or damn near full. You need to start packing your groceries up, okay?
What started this discussion is an article DeMace sent to us, BleacherReport.com. They rank the top 25 players in the NFL who have yet to turn 25 and won't before the season started. The Titans have zero on the list. In a nutshell, they had three drafts that look like they're going to produce 0 to 2 players that they will sign to a second contract. 2020 draft, none are still on the team. 2021 draft, maybe the best candidate for a second contract might be Elijah Molden, and that's not going to be a big money kind of thing. 2022, jury is way out. Burks, McCreary, Petit Frere, Malik Willis, Hassan Haskins, Chick Okonkwo, Kyle Phillips, Theo Jackson, Chance Campbell. What do you got there? Major, major question marks with all of them. The best players, age 25 and under, McCreary is in the top five. You've got the young offensive lineman first pick, Skoronski and Latham, Tajay Spears, and then a lot of maybe Chigakonkwo, Elijah Molden. It's a lot of marginal players at best. You put all that together, can you make it work? Can you make it work? Yes, there's a lot. The easy headline is, if you got the quarterback, you're in good shape. How much can they overcome with, even if Levis makes progress, which I think we're hopeful that he will, but there's still another layer to this, and it really comes down to who are your young players that you're building around. Again, we go back to the early 2000s Titans, 99 to 2003. 5 straight years of in a window. Lots of players that were reinvested in on second contracts. Because you take
and these
back,
are guys they drafted.
Yeah. Mason, Bishop, Roll, McNair, Eddie George, Javon Curse, actually, they got to that point where they got to the contracts while we had the foot problem, or else he would have been one. And, of course, the salary cap, Floyd Reese had a different viewpoint of it. Before, it was a lot of boom and bust, so he kept doubling down on the credit card until he couldn't, he had to pay the bill and set some guys free. But if you look at that team, it was a great nucleus of young players that they drafted and developed, and then a bunch of them signed that second contract. This team isn't built that way, and that's got a lot of red flags as a result.
Well, you show me your, it's just like the world. You show me your youth, and I show you where you're going. You show me your youth, Titans, and I show you where you're not going. Because right now, your youth hasn't played enough significant good football for us to sit here truthfully and honestly and say, oh, they're set moving forward. Hell no, they're not set moving forward. They're not. Now, can they be as they start to accumulate draft picks last year, this year, moving forward? Absolutely they can. But right now, because of what transpired prior, it has put them in a position where I look at the youth on this team and I think, man, they're in trouble. That's why they had to go out and get Boyd, Ridley, D-Hop, Awuzie, Sneed, even though those guys are young too. But because of the depth, because of the pool of young players they don't have prior to going to get those guys, they were forced to go out there and sort of expedite things. We got to go out there and get these young veteran guys and pay them X amount of dollars because our roster isn't built up the way we need it to be built. And listen, they're going to have to do it within the next 3 years. Build this roster up because these guys that they brought in this year and last year will all be phased out or getting ready to be phased out. I don't think any of these guys that they signed last year or this year, veteran guys, are going to go on and then sign another contract with the Titans. They're not. It's not going to happen. So they need to get as much as they possibly can out of those veteran guys, all while their young pool of players starts to mature in this offense, and you start to see the progression that they're making as a team. If you don't get that, I don't care how many damn veteran guys you're bringing in here, ultimately it's going to catch up with you. You need to solidify your young depth and your young talent on top of the guys that you brought in from free agency.
Last year's rookie class, obviously so much is on Levis, that goes without saying. Skoronski, huge. Spears, okay. Chance to be pretty good. Josh Wiley, Jalen Duncan, Colton Dowell round out your draft picks. That's, if you're being optimistic, maybe that's a good draft class. And it becomes a really good one if Levis ends up being a guy you want to sign to a second contract, which we're going to get to in the next segment of a team that's at that crossroads right now. And then this year, it's a large unknown. But there's a lot on Latham and Sweat at the top. No third-round pick. You're hoping that one of the other guys, Cedric Gray, Jarvis Brownlee, Jaquan Jackson, 2 seventh-round picks, James Williams and Jalen Harrell, maybe you find a diamond or two in the rough there. But it's hard when you don't have a lot of extra picks. So is it going to get better with these last two drafts? I don't know.
It needs to.
I hope. I mean, at least at the top, you hope.
Yeah, you need to be able to set a foundation with these young players. You have sort of the foundation with the older guys, but again, those guys are going to phase out in the next 2 to 3 years. You need to build a foundation of young talent on this team. And the Titans haven't done that in at least 3 or 4 years. And I'm going back to A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith. And then you add in a veteran quarterback. And then it sort of completes everything. You had your offensive lineman that was young, across the board. So back then, that young depth was there.
Yeah. If you look at Taylor the last LeBron, good Titans like teams.
Yeah, they had
guys that they built
team
around.
Was
Byard,
built, yeah,
Henry.
Young depth.
Taylor Lewan.
Mm-hmm.
Jarrell Casey. And then young guys who they passed on, uh-huh. Right? Conklin,
yeah.
Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, who they elected not to sign the
but
next
that's when they
but
had
those were good
teams.
Young players
yeah.
That were having good first contracts, uh-huh. Right? You need those guys. These guys aren't providing that. It's nothing close to
you. You can marry a young A.J. Brown with the veteran at quarterback or Jonnu Smith with the veteran at quarterback. You can't do that now. They don't have enough young depth. I'm just going back and I'm looking at those rosters back, 3 or 4 years ago. They had a good team. You know why it was good? Because they have both young players and older players pulling all in the same direction. Everybody's mm-hmm. pulling their weight. They had red dot sort of guys. They had Pro Bowl guys on that roster. They had impact player guys on that roster. Not just on offense, but they had them both on offense and defense. And, hell, they had it on special teams too. So they need to get back to that. And they were able to do that. Why? Because the depth of this team was good. The young talent was good. The last few drafts after that, a waste, a complete waste.
Right.
That's why they're in the position that they're in now, because they have no young – they don't have enough, let's say that, because they do have a few guys, but they don't have enough young impact players on their team.
Yes, and the other – the next layer to our discussion is not only are there guys from the last few drafts that we don't think they're going to sign to the next contract, they're also short on drafted and developed players that are on the second – on the second contract that you've invested in, which would have been A.J. Brown had they not traded him, right? He would be in that category. Simmons is one that they have invested the big second contract in. So, but he's really the lone guy. The
yeah,
lone
you're
ranger
talking about since
with that,
2017.
Right? Who are the guys that are on the big second contract who the Titans drafted and developed? Not very many. It's Simmons, because they
it's
let
only
Conklin,
one guy.
Because
it's
they let one. Conklin go. Well, Landry. Harold Landry's another
Harold
one.
Harold Landry.
Right?
Okay. Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons. You're talking about two guys on the offense.
Is there another one? I don't think so. See, this is so it's a
and
double
Harold
win.
Harold Landry was a part of John's regime.
Sure.
So you're talking about really two players that are still on this team, Simmons and Landry. You're talking about possibly four to five that were impact players for you, A.J. Brown. And I'm adding it with Simmons, Evans, A.J. Brown. Nate Davis was a good player.
But that's another guy
that
did not
sign
back to the
yeah.
second contract.
Corey Davis, he was a good player. Now
didn't sign him to the second contract.
Now, whether you want to say, well, he was the fourth or fifth pick in the draft. He should have had better numbers. Yes, you're absolutely
yeah.
right. But under the circumstance that they were on, AJ had developed as the number one guy. He was the perfect number two guy. And I kept saying, and you let him go. You let him go.
They brought in Julio Jones.
They brought in Julio
so
Jones.
So this is again, roster building.
Yes.
And where are you now? What does the new regime inherit? So you don't have established guys on the second contract, and you don't have guys you've drafted who are giving you good value right now who you're going to reinvest in. That's a major, major problem to try to overcome. Mm-hmm. So it's not all on Will Levis. It's what else do you have around him? You have a lot of veteran free agents who you're hoping to make it work with. Let's go to Dylan, who is on the line with us. Our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, guys.
Well?
So the Titans are actually, since 2016, they are the second to worst team in the whole league as far as re-signing players to a second contract. And the only team below them is actually the Bears. So the Bears are at 51.02% and the Titans are 54.72%. And that's not even just impactful players. That's just, you know, I mean, I could just be re-signing anybody to a second contract. But to put that into perspective, like the Packers lead it and they're at 78.13. So like a huge jump to signing players to a second contract.
It's really how you win. Yeah, Dylan, it's a good point. It's really how you win. I'm glad you brought up the Packers because we're going to bring that up in our next segment. We're going to go around the league. But one of the big things going on is the Packers, who have set the table with a very nice nucleus of young players and the young quarterback. Now they're going into that next phase with Jordan Love, and they've got to get him signed.
There's only been four players, and I'm glad the caller went back to 2016. But there's only been four players since 2016, because I'm not counting 24 or yesterday or last year's draft class. But there's only two players that got second contracts since 2016 with the Titans. It's four. Derrick Henry.
Right.
Kevin Byard.
He's gone.
Both of those guys were in the same draft class because Conklin didn't get a second contract. Nobody in the 2017 class got a second contract, or nobody of any significance got a second contract. Harold Landry in 2018, that was it. Jeffrey Simmons in 2019, that was it.
And then we've covered it since then. Nobody's
and that was it. Yeah. So since 2016, because Nate Davis didn't even get a second contract, did he? Yeah.
No.
Since 2016, people, almost 10 years, they've only had four guys that they've re-signed to contracts. Four guys, impact players. Now, those guys are impact players, but they're no longer on his team. That tells a lot right there. Eventually, it was going to catch up with you, and it has caught up with you.
The reality is setting in. I am an optimistic person, but I look at this, and I have a hard time seeing the glass half full with this. There's a lot to overcome, and it's a lot to put on a young quarterback. And they've done the best they can, I think, to try to put some veterans in there to sort of patchwork their way into being competitive. But even that is not the long-term solution. So we'll leave it there. When we come back, let's go around the league. Let's talk Packers. Let's talk about Brandon Ayuk and his trade. We'll get the wide receiver translator machine out for D-Mace to talk about this. A wide receiver asking for a trade. What's the market going to look like? We'll go around the NFL with some news and notes next. Here on 102.5 The Game. Can you practice what you preach? And would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love? Ah, where is the love? Very nicely done.
Where's the love? Where's the love? I like it.
Well, there is a love up in Green Bay named Jordan Love. And he's not at practice, so they're asking that question up there. Where is the love? But Jordan Love is an interesting one. I think, based on everything I'm reading about it, Jordan Love is on the verge of signing his next contract. Mm-hmm. So we just talked about the Titans and their inability to draft and develop players that are on their second contract or eventually going to be signed to a second contract. Mm-hmm. This is how you build the nucleus. And they are trying to overcome the fact that they're low in that category right now. The Packers, on the other hand, are in good shape, and they're about to sign Jordan Love to the second contract. Jordan Love, by the way, is 25 years old, so he is about a half a year older than Will Levis. Will Levis has already turned 25. Love will turn 26 during the season in November. And Jordan Love, the story is well told. He sat for a couple years and got a chance to start last year, and in the second half really came on. Ended up 9-8 as a starter, but as we know, Green Bay got into the playoffs and then made some serious noise, waxed the Cowboys in Dallas, and then played the heck out of the 49ers the next week. Had a chance to win the game. And all of a sudden, you're sitting there going, man, the Packers, can they win the Super Bowl kind of thing? But now they've got to, because they were patient with Love and they had the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, they've got to make a decision on how much to pay him. So with guys like Jared Goff making over $50 million a year, where do you think Love fits into this equation now? He's only done it for 1 year, and really, like you said, mm-hmm. D-Mace, earlier, a half a year.
Yeah.
So what do we think? What's the right number for him? Because they're going to get it done. They've got a chance to be really good this year, and they need him. But what do they what do we think they're going to pay him?
I have no idea. I mean, he had 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions last year, completed just over 64% of his passes, 4,000-yard passer. I mean, his first half of the season wasn't great. And I get it. You know, you're trying to usher in new quarterback, you know, new receivers, all this, you know, everything that's going on with him. And then he picked it up the second half of the season. So they're in a, you know, Green Bay's in a catch-22 here.
Yeah, and he says he will not practice until the contract is finalized. So he's trying to push the issue. Mm-hmm. Which hopefully will get people to a place where they get it done. So he sat for 3 years, three full years. It's so interesting to me that he is basically the same age as Will Levis. So there was a lot of times where Jordan Love was behind the scenes, sitting behind Aaron Rodgers while Will Levis was playing college football. So, again, we'll move away from the Titans here, but it illustrates how quickly the Titans need to get answers. They need quick development from Will Levis, because he's getting to that age where you need to know what's going on. So Love, we didn't really know halfway through last year whether he was the guy. But here he goes, and now he's about to make a lot of money. So Goff got $53 million per year from the Lions. Trevor Lawrence is getting $55 million from the Jaguars. And, of course, Lawrence is younger than Love. But obviously Lawrence has played a lot more games. So Love's deal could fall, according to The Athletic, in the ballpark of 4 years, $224 million. I don't know what the math is on that. But, of course, we all know the guarantee is the important thing. So he could be among the highest paid guys.
Oh, he will be. He is not. No,
but
he
that's
could
not
be.
Right, is it? Why should they have to make him the highest paid guy?
Willie, it's not about being right. It's about when you sign that contract.
Right. And because they think it will be worth it long term.
Exactly.
If he's the guy.
He, since week 11, I think it's week 11, 10 or 11 last season, he threw one interception from week 10 or 11 on. He averaged about two touchdowns per game. Now, he didn't go up against vaunted defenses. I get it. Detroit Lions is a good team. They end up winning that game. Three touchdowns, no interceptions. They end up beating Kansas City in another three-touchdown game. So he has fared well against who we consider the top-tier teams, Detroit, Kansas City. Now, everybody he played after that, the Giants, Tampa, Carolina, Minnesota, Chicago, all those were bottom feeders, with the exception of Tampa. Everybody else was bottom feeders. So this is the decision. Again, this retainer's killing me. This is the decision that the Detroit Lions, not Detroit, but Green Bay Packers have to make. Is he more the week 11 on, or is he more 1 through 10?
Well, he's going to get paid as if he's week 11
exactly.
on.
Exactly. He's
and
going to get paid.
It's a major investment here.
Exactly, but they have to do it. You got rid of. You basically told Aaron Rodgers, this is our guy. We're going to ship you out to wherever you want to go, but this is our guy. You've told your fan base, this is our guy. He come out. He was shaky at the beginning, But the last 7 weeks of the season, he played masterfully.
Yeah.
You got to pay
Cowboys,
him.
That Cowboys exactly. game was unbelievable.
You got to pay him. Under no circumstance can you let him walk into this season without a contract. You got to pay him.
I was, in my mind, just because I remember the playoff
An extension,
games,
let's say that, because he's under contract.
And
but
in particular, I remember the Cowboys game.
Uh-huh.
I would have thought their record was better than 9-8. They were 9-8.
Yeah.
And yet he's about to sign an enormous contract. This is, again, how tricky all your decisions become in the NFL, depending on where you are. But they have a good nucleus of young players mm-hmm. that they did a great job throughout the whole Aaron Rodgers soap opera. Quietly, they did a very good job of building a young roster. So they look like they have a chance to win. So I'll ask you this, D-Mace. Mm-hmm. Are you a believer in love in general? Forget about the money. Just what you've seen. Do you think he's the real deal? Do you think they've got something here?
I think they do. And this is the one thing about, you know, Green Bay has been, you know, they have the, like, the riches. They've been spoiled with riches. Sort of like Indianapolis when they went from Peyton to
Andrew Luck.
Yeah. It was like just riches, like 20 years of just great quarterbacking. This is the Green Bay Packers. They go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, now to Jordan Love.
That spans 30 years.
Yeah, they've had they like you got to pay this guy because he's shown you, albeit small sample, but he's shown you that he can direct this offense the way Aaron Rodgers did, the way Brett Favre did. He can because if you watch their offense, this offense is one of the best offenses in the National Football League. Their head coach, you may not like him, but he's a damn good offensive play caller. That's what he is. You may not like him as a coach. You probably didn't like him when he was here, but he's a damn good offensive coordinator, which makes him a really good head coach right now. This team looks closer to what they used to be than not. Why? Because of the quarterback. And they got good talent. What's the kid? Reed, the wide receiver. Jalen Reed. He's a pretty good wide receiver. They got the running backs. They're building up their defense. They got to
pay
him.
So much so that they let Aaron Jones walk.
Exactly. Yeah. They got to pay him. You cannot go into the season with him not having a contract because it can backfire on you from this standpoint. What if he wants $55 million? Okay, you say that's a lot of money, but it goes right along with what they're paying these quarterbacks now. You don't want to pay him $55 million. What if he goes out there and have an MVP-type season? Now that 55 goes up to 60. I should have got the contract done earlier.
Yeah.
You know? So I do believe they're going to get the contract done. Where the money's going to be, it's going to be north of 50. It has to be.
It's something that's happening in sports probably more than it did a long time ago where you're paying the guy before you're getting the results.
Mm-hmm.
You're betting on the guy, really. The Jaguars are betting on Trevor Lawrence to pay him all that money before he's really done much. Now, he's played a lot more games uh-huh. than Jordan Love. He's had his ups and downs more as a result. Love just hasn't played as many games. Mm-hmm. But Love is on a roll, and his stock is skyrocketing. But at the end of the day, it's a pretty small sample size. Brock Purdy is going to get paid mm-hmm. in the coming years by the 49ers, unless he completely collapses.
He's not
hurt.
Even eligible for a new
not
contract.
Yet. Not yet. Yeah. They've still got him at $900,000. It's like the greatest bargain going in the world right now in professional sports based on his productivity. He's got a great roster around him, but he gets it done.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get paid soon. And before you know it, the Titans are going to have to make a decision on Levis. That's why, as you keep pointing out, even though I'd like to see what he looks like in 2 years, 3 years, they're going to have to probably make a decision on him.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is going to have to do with how he does this year with a very complicated set of question marks around him.
But they,
as much as they've tried
yes,
to help him.
But they put this roster together. One, they want to win. So that's why they went out and got the veteran free agents that they did. But I think from an offensive standpoint, they put this roster together to see if he's the quarterback. You got three guys that have been 1,000-yard receivers on that roster. We all know who they are. You got three guys that have been to playoff games, that understands what the playoffs is about. There's no – when you bring in three guys like that, you're telling a quarterback, we need to find out if you're the guy now. This ain't no, oh, we, you know, we just want you to ease into this and sort of find your bearings, and we're going to help that with the receivers, you know. No, this is okay. How do we find out why? Because we found out very quickly C.J. Stroud was the guy. We found out very quickly after Urban Meyer left that Trevor Lawrence has some talent. Now, he needs to play consistently better more, but he has the talent. We've seen these young quarterbacks go out there and get the job done. We need to find out if you're one of those this year. That's why we went out and got the guys that we got, all these guys, these 30-year-old guys on offense from a receiver standpoint. We got them because we need to find out who you are as a player. If we don't know who you are as a player once this season ends, we're going right back in the draft and we're trying to find our quarterback.
It's the catch-22 of the Nick Saban clip that we played you last week where he likes the idea of older college quarterbacks who play a lot and develop at the college level. The catch-22 of that is when you do get to the pros, you've got to advance quickly. They're not going to give you as much time. And he says that's fine because too many guys have crashed and burned by getting thrown in there before they're ready. Mm-hmm. But we're going to see how ready Levis is with the you know, the decent sample size that he got last year as a rookie, plus all the extra years of college that a lot of college quarterbacks have now when they come into the league. It's gonna be here quick. Jordan Love, Packers sat him for a long, long time before he got the reins. Now, after basically a half a season of lighting it up, they're about to pay him among the top quarterbacks in the entire NFL. Mm-hmm. There's a lot riding on how he does from there, but he looks pretty good.
But that's
that last impression is really good, but I'm a little scared about the sample size if I'm a Packer fan.
But that's
a little scared.
That's what you want to see with Will Levis. You want to see him have a Jordan Love type of year. So then you can go and say, this is our guy. We need to sign him back. Now, it may be a little difficult to sign him back, but at least you know the guy that we have underneath center is the guy. Now we just need to figure out the monies with it, you know?
And then we'll build accordingly.
Exactly.
When you have that in place, it does seem easier what the vision is. Texter texts in and says the sample size is so – this is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. With the small sample size with Jordan Love, I still give him a 30% chance of getting benched before 2026. Once they pay him, he ain't getting benched.
He ain't getting benched.
So I don't know if that's going to be – I can see – I would insert 30% chance of being very disappointing.
Like, exactly.
I can see that going south.
Not benched.
But probably not benched. You, once you're getting paid like that, you're the man.
Yeah.
For better or worse.
But imagine Jordan Love with actual assets to throw to. Like, I'm not saying Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs are not good assets, but like those are not your true number ones. Those guys are always getting hurt.
That was the thing, though. There were some guys catching passes in that playoff game. It was like, man, I've never heard of this guy, but he looks pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, they – like I'm curious. Fantasy league, like I got to bow up on my Packers guys because those guys that were getting it done at the end of the season were not guys that were getting – thrown into your fantasy lineup all year.
But who else did? But again, I go back to who else has done that for the Green Bay Packers? Like, the receivers are known because of the quarterback. Brett Favre did it.
Aaron Rodgers did it.
And now Jordan Love is doing it as well. That's why I'm saying they've had like a spoil of riches, you know? So if you see that spark in the quarterback, you need to sign him. They saw that spark in the quarterback the second half and what he did in the playoffs. It wasn't because of him they lost the playoffs, okay? They saw it and they said, you know what? Yeah, we need to make him our quarterback. Now, they got to get the deal done. That's the sticky part. But at least they know in their mind, he's our guy. That's what the Titans need to know at the end of this upcoming season. And I know I'm putting the cart before the horse because the season hadn't started yet. But damn it, they need to know at the end of the season whether he's the guy or not. It needs to be a Jordan Love situation where he's saying, you know what? I proved to y'all that I'm the guy. Now I want a bigger contract.
I'm coming around to you on that. I thought it would be more like 2 years, but I'm coming around to your thinking on this. When we come back, we're going to get the wide receiver translator out and talk Brandon Ayuk. What's going to happen with him and the 49ers? We have to get the mind of the wide receiver and try to get inside the mind of Brandon Ayuk when he asked for a trade. Stay tuned. That's coming up next. Don't forget, Teron Davenport will set the table with us at 1 o'clock as we talk football with him. You're listening to Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Willie and D-Mace coming your way here, and we are sponsored by Zen Sports. Don't forget, start earning cash rewards on your bets today from Zen Sports. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up and in Tennessee to bet. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We're talking some news and notes from around the NFL. Brandon Ayuk, interesting situation. He is not really up for free agency yet. He's on his current contract, but you know how wide receivers the last few years have kind of pushed the envelope, changed the market, and collectively they've made a lot of headway there. You've got to have the wide receivers, and when you have one, you got to pay him. Brandon Ayuk wants to get paid a little faster than the 49ers want to pay him. They're trying to keep everybody under a certain budget. They got a loaded team. They want to win the whole thing. Their quarterback is still on his first contract. He was the last pick in the draft, so he's super cheap based on the production he gives them. They want to take advantage. Brandon Ayuk has asked the 49ers for a trade. Now, this has gone over like a lead balloon, if you take a look around the league. Everybody's kind of going, ha, nice try. They're never going to trade him. So Michael Lombardi, who is the host, or one of the hosts of the GM Shuffle, a good podcast that has sort of that general manager, talent evaluator, cap strategist kind of angle to it. This is what Michael Lombardi had to say about Brandon Ayuk's request, and then we're going to get the wide receiver's perspective from D-Mace on the other side of this. Listen in.
Here's the reality, and we have to stop with this. And a lot of it, I get that when someone asks for trades, that's news. But the NFL is not the NBA, okay?
Nope.
Like, Brandon Ayuk, I hate to give you this news. You're not James Harden, okay? You're not Kevin Garnett. You're not LeBron. You just can't demand. Like, you're not going to demand. They have you for the next 3 years. You've collectively bargained this with your union, okay? I don't know what the NBA does. That's not my business. But in the NFL, the 49ers have your contract for next year. It's a fifth-year option. You're not a free agent. Then you become a free agent. They can franchise you 2 more years. So you're in bed with them for 3 more years, whether you like it or not. And they control it. And here's where I think the key point is, and I said this yesterday on McAfee's show. When you have an organization that has alignment like the 49ers, you can't influence him in one way or the other, then what difference does it make if you scream, I want to be traded? You're not getting traded. Mike Brown was never trading Jesse Bates. I said that when Jesse Bates came out and said, I demand to be traded. I said, good luck dealing with Mike Brown on that, right? Yeah. Like, that's not going to happen. And so, like, this is ridiculous. The 49ers, from a football standpoint, cannot replace Ayuk this year. Maybe they could next year, but they can't do it right now.
That's Michael Lombardi, the GM Shuffle podcast. Michael Lombardi is out on a bunch of the shows here. So it's time to take what he said. Mm-hmm. He had some pretty pointed comments on the leverage that that Ayuk has or doesn't have in this case. Now it's time to put it through our wide receiver translator.
Wide receiver translator.
Okay, so let's get in the head of a wide receiver here. D-Mace, I understand where he's coming from. Uh-huh. He's producing. He sees a lot of people around the league getting big money. How patient does he have to be? What would you tell him?
I would tell him control what he can control. Allow your, you know, you're paying your representative to do a job. Allow him to do the job. Tell him to push the envelope. Tell him to push the envelope hard. But I wouldn't get involved in this back and forth. Because it does nothing for IU. Now, listen, I get it. You know, you want to be able to voice your displeasure when you feel you're being wrong. And he has every right to. Because if he wasn't playing good, then San Francisco would trade his ass right away. They'd get rid of him right away. But because over the last two seasons, well, hell, over the last, since he's been a 49er, each year he has improved as a 49er, okay? 700, 800, 1,000, 1,300 yards, 12-yard average, 14-yard average, 17-yard average last year, 5, 5, 8, 7. He's improved as a pass catcher for the, who do you think was in front of him? In regards to production, how they rank these wide receivers throughout the season. You can go to PFF, whatever. Who do you think? How many people do you think was ahead of him?
Not very many.
One. You know what that one guy was? Tyreek Hill. One guy.
I knew it was good. I didn't know if it was
that
good.
There was one guy that was ahead of him as far as the production, how they rank all of this stuff, the numbers that they give him, the grades that they give him. There was one guy. And that one guy is considered, you know, a top three receiver in this league. There's only one guy ahead of him. He's putting in his work. He's doing what he needs to do. They just paid Christian McCaffrey an ungodly amount of money for a running back. I know Christian McCaffrey's not just a running back. I get that. So don't. I'm not trying to, you know, say, well, it's just
trend.
A running back.
Yeah.
But he is a threat. He's a playmaker for their team. So you know what they did? They paid that playmaker more than any other running back out there in the NFL. Why can't they do that with Ayuk? Ayuk has proven to them he is their guy. He's their guy. It's not Deebo Samuel when it comes to receiving. Kittles is there, yes, but Kittles is getting a little bit older. Ayuk is 26 years old, just turned 26, and he's considered a top five receiver in this league. Pay him like that. You need to pay him because you know who you got to pay next? You got to pay your quarterback. So you need to start paying him now.
And then they've got to decide on Deebo Samuel.
Exactly.
As well.
Then you got to decide on Deebo. My thing is, sign Brandon Ayuk to a contract because he's your weapon from an outside standpoint. It's not Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel is like a Swiss Army knife. But if you ask him to line up just wide receiver, no.
So
he's
if
not
you could only
guy.
Keep one,
I would keep
you
Ayuk.
Would keep Ayuk.
Yeah, I would keep Ayuk, hands down. I would keep him over Kittles. He's the guy. He's their guy.
You just want to get Kittles to Nashville, don't you?
Kittles to Nashville, too. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'm sure he would like it.
Yeah, that could work out.
But you have – and Lombardi is right. This is not basketball. So anytime you open up your mouth, you're not going to get a contract or not going to get traded. Sometimes you just have to wait. But Brandon Ayuk has put in work. He's improved each and every year. And the idea that, they have him for the next 3 years. Nah. I know from a contractual standpoint and how the CBA is constructed, yes, they do. But you can't do that to him. He's proven that he's your guy on the outside. And before you sign Purdy, you need to sign him. You just signed Christian McCaffrey. You gave everybody else a lot of money. Why, 2 years ago, you gave Deebo Samuel a lot of money. And even while giving Deebo Samuel all that money, Brandon Ayuk has become the guy. Pay that man his money. Pay that man his money.
Yeah, it's John Malkovich.
Exactly.
Rounders.
Pay that man his money. He's worth it. Because once you let – see, here's the problem.
But if the 49ers are saying, we're paying – it's the fifth-year option.
Yes.
And if I'm reading this right, he can earn $14 million this year. Which is
he's grossly
sounds
under,
a lot.
It's a lot of money, but he's grossly underpaid.
And they'll say, "Well, we could still franchise you the next year, so we have the leverage. We don't have to react, don't you?" And you go back to him and you say, "Don't you want to try to win? This is our chance to win."
I get
that. The business side versus the you got a chance to play on a pretty special team. They got a loaded roster. They should win it. To me, they're the best team. That hasn't won it in the last 3 or 4 years.
If you
years.
Look at their roster.
And at some point, like you said, it's going to change when Samuel comes up and especially Purdy comes up. It changes your whole structure. You can't keep the same amount of really good players corralled on the same roster.
No, you can't. But you can if you do it in such a way that you sign these guys a little bit earlier. You know, so you can kind of stagger all of this. And then eventually as they start getting older, you kind of, you know, like Deebo. I think this will be Deebo Samuel's last year in San Francisco. I really do. He's getting old. He's getting beat up. He's missed games. This is probably the last year. And he has a high ticket, price ticket. This may be the last year Deebo Samuel's in San Francisco, unless he just have another great season. He didn't have a great season last year, and he missed games. He's not the number one option anymore. It's Christian McCaffrey and Ayuk, and then him and Kittles.
So do you believe that, if you're sitting out there on another team, would you try to jump in there and trade for Ayuk? Because to do that, you got to give up a lot, especially during the season. The 49ers are sitting there going, he can't go anywhere. He could do the, what do you call it, the hold in.
The hold in.
You don't really play. You grumble.
You say, no, you say, like, my hamstring
hurts.
I'm
unhappy. My hamstring hurts. That's about all you can do.
Yeah, that's only leeway you, I mean, leverage you have in this situation.
So it's not, but so unless somebody rides in with a golden offer.
He's stuck there. Like Lombardi said, he's stuck there.
And the 49ers, you don't want to take a big step back unless somebody's given you a player that can help you win the Super Bowl this year, and that's unlikely, right?
Yeah, it's
so what are the, like, if you're a team on the outside looking at this, do you want to get in this game, or do we just say, you know, I'll just wait until this coming off season?
If you need him, you get into the game. If you
what
feel,
would you give up? A first rounder or more?
You would have to give up close to a first rounder or a second rounder.
Yeah, at least, right?
It would be.
But why would the 49ers just want your first rounder if they're trying to win this year?
If you are a team and you're one guy, sort of that one guy you believe away, then you make the run at Ayuk. If you feel you need a playmaker on the outside, you make the run. That's what Miami did. They made the run for Tyreek Hill. They got him
because
they felt we needed him, so we paid him the money. That's how another team is going to have to feel. Hey, listen, we understand that we're going to have to give the draft picks and then pay him, but we need him. We believe he's like one of the last pieces to get those over the hump. It's going to have to be a team like that.
I could see it in the offseason. I don't know if I can see it this close to the regular season.
It may happen still. We'll still see.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Stop playing with that man. Give him his money.
Okay. When we come back, Teron Davenport will join us and we'll talk Titans with him on Training Camp Eve. This is 102.5 The Game.